Welcome to another episode of the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And there we have it. Welcome to the Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. Today is a very, very special day in the Good Listening To Clearing because this is a founder story. This is all about the Marzi Project, which is a Bristol-based trying to put food on the map in a healthy way for young people. That's just a real layperson's way of describing it. This is Melanie, who has the most glorious Greek surname. I'm going to allow her to do it for us so I don't cock it up on her behalf. So Mel from the Marzi Project, tell us the full version of your surname.
So it's Melanie Vaxavanagis. From Athens.
Lovely. And you're based in Bristol, and the Marzi Project got going at the beginning of the pandemic in your very angry or furious reaction to the quality of food boxes that were being given as free lunches to pupils. So do you want to just tell us the story behind the story? You're 2.5 years in now and you're doing phenomenal stuff here in Bristol. But just tell the story behind the story before we get going on curating you through the journey of this programme.
Yeah, so I actually started, it was a year into the pandemic. So it was in response to the free school meal scandal that happened. And I don't know if people remember, but it was basically where the government kind of gave out these food packages and hampers, created at £25 to marginalised groups. And the actual food hampers literally had half a carrot, half a pepper, white bread, extremely poor quality food, poor amounts of food. And it just sparked a lot of anger in me. And I decided to start a fundraiser to buy food vouchers for families in need. And then I kind of quickly decided to refocus onto vulnerable 16, 25 year olds. I was 24 at the time, so I felt like that's where I could have the most impact. And generally I'd worked with vulnerable 16 to 25 year olds a lot throughout university and felt like they're very much a community that really falls through the cracks. A lot of people expect them to kind of either have things sorted or they're slightly ignored or create their own kind of stereotype around this community. Whereas in reality, they're at such an age-defining age and just really needed a lot of nurturing and support and love. So I'm obsessed with food. I love it. And the way I share love to all my friends and my family is through food. So I decided to start the Marzi Project, very much a middle of the night idea. And we delivered our first recipe box on the 31st of March. And yeah, it's just been going crazy ever since.
And it was an epiphany, literally at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Marzi Project website. There's this wonderful image of the original scrawly notes that you woke up and started to scrawl. It's a brilliant journal of the birth of a construct and a concept, which is now, the statistics are so beautiful now. This was back in January when you had your 2 year anniversary. There were 10,300 single meals and 5,000 amazing meal kits sent to 70 people a day in Bristol, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, 70 people a week.
A week.
that's
the future.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been going from strength to strength, which has been amazing. And it's been a really cool, interesting, challenging experience so far.
And each box is about, gifting fruit and a recipe card, fresh fruit and vegetable and a recipe card to anyone who would otherwise not have access to it or be able to afford it.
Yeah, so it's basically a really similar model to HelloFresh or Mindful Chef. So each week we'll text the young people with up to 20 recipes. They'll pick up to 3 and then we'll pre-weigh all the ingredients. A lot of the fresh ingredients are from local small-scale producers, especially during summer. And then they'll cook it at home with like a recipe book that we've provided with to them. And yeah, so, and it's all about kind of choice and control and what they can eat. And it's, which is, and it's very different to like Food Bank Box, because we don't actually depend on donated items. We are funded to buy the items so that we're giving the freshest, best ingredients to them. And yeah, it's working with young people who have experienced the care system, asylum system, domestic violence or homelessness. Mm-hmm.
And you were a documentary filmmaker before your epiphany.
Yeah. I used to work in documentary in like, I used to be a researcher for Kyo Films and BBC and stuff. So social, and I did my own storytelling videos, I guess, and photography, which I still do and I still love. Storytelling, I think, is my biggest kind of part of me, I guess, which has been nice to kind of do that through Muzzy as well.
And you've come to the right place, because this is a storytelling construct, rich and suffused with storytelling metaphor. At the very end, there's going to be a really deliberate invitation to tell us all about where to find out all about the Muzzy project. Amazing. And finally, I can't get on without saying the beautiful thing about going from strength to strength as well. You've also managed to land the most wonderful ambassador in Maisie Williams of Game of Thrones fame, in order to be an ambassador, having grown up herself in Bristol and actually experienced what some of your young people have experienced herself personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was an amazing kind of achievement to happen so early on. Maisie's an absolutely incredible woman. Me and her have become quite close friends, and she's been incredibly supportive in loads of different ways with Muzzy. We've got some really cool stuff coming up together, which is exciting. Very grateful to kind of be able to get that recognition.
And I couldn't help but resist saying, with Maisie Williams, it's not so much Game of Thrones as Game of Nom Noms, because she's there. You can have that for free, because it's all about the food. Lovely. So let's get you on the open road then of a construct where we're going to find out what a clearing is for you in the Muzzy project. And then we're going to arrive with a tree in your clearing, shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. And then you'll have prepared your answers to the 5-4-3-2-1 construct, where how do you like these apples? Four things that have shaped you or the Muzzy project, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's a bit, oh, squirrels, you know, what never fails to grab your attention. And then a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know until you tell us. Then there's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels already mentioned, a bit of cake and a cheeky bit of Shakespeare. So it's all to play for.
Exciting.
So let's get you on the open road. Where is a clearing for Melanie and the Muzzy project? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
I definitely say the kitchen is one of the clearings for me. It's kind of my chance to really switch off, put my music on and get off my phone, kind of have no interaction with the screen and just use my hands. It's a real beautiful way for me to switch off. I really notice that when I'm really stressed, that's kind of where I go. And also the sea. I, you know, grew up in Athens, really not far from the sea. And the sea is just like, or just any kind of water, even the harbour side of Bristol, it's just very calming for me. And I think my head goes insane sometimes and it's just like overwhelming. So yeah, both those spaces are a bit calming and inspirational.
Lovely. So get a spatula back in your hand and all is tickety-boo.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the Athenian background in its inception. And even the word Muzzy means, you can tell us, the word Muzzy has a Greek, obviously.
Yeah, it derivation. Means together. Together, which is nice.
And I love the idea that it's really about gifting young people with the idea of the community and power of the dinner table, bringing people back to the dinner table.
Absolutely. I'm such a big believer that I've kind of so much knowledge and memories and parts of me have come from the dinner table. And I think the dinner table is such a beautiful and humbling, equalizing way to kind of experience the world. And I think it's just quite an easy way to make someone feel really special. And that's kind of what we do at Muzzy, is we try and reduce isolation, build confidence and make each of our young people and everyone that interacts with Muzzy, whether they're staff or volunteers, to feel extraordinary.
So here we are in the clearing of your kitchen close to the sea, which I love, or it could be close to Bristol Harbour.
Beautiful. Have a sea view.
Wonderful. And I'm now going to arrive with a tree to shake a tree. How do you like these apples? As we now interpret four things that have shaped you, first of all.
So, yeah, it was quite a good, interesting question, actually. I think I, you know, had, I guess like everyone, you know, various hardships growing up that I think definitely shaped me in kind of my strength and like resilience. And then I used to play tennis at a semi-pro level, which I think taught me a lot about kind of being out there on a court on your own and dealing, you know, getting through the kind of mental battles of when you're not performing amazing or when you are performing and kind of how to navigate both of those things. And it taught me discipline and it taught me competitiveness and kind of that idea of, you know, striving for more and determination.
And by the way, that's very relatable. Tennis got me through the pandemic. Just the beauty of just tonking something arm's length to somebody 25, 30 feet away was just so cathartic. So yeah. I like you even more now you're into tennis as well.
Great. And I think finding my people at university was a massive thing. I think I really was able to very quickly kind of find my space, find people that I loved, that loved me, and that kind of challenge me and encourage me to become, you know, to shine more and more. And I'm very grateful for all of those people and, you know, my parents and stuff like that. And then COVID, I mean, I feel like surely you must get that all the time, that COVID shaped people. But it was the first time that I really suffered very obviously with my mental health, I think, in COVID. And before I used to be I used to kind of get anxious, I guess, but I'd never really recognized it as like a problem or felt like it was something that I was constantly suppressing, well, or pushing under the carpet. But then in COVID, it really hit me quite badly. And I think that's kind of really helped me understand the importance of taking care of your mind and trying to find ways that, you know, what does that look like for me? Like, how can I take care of my mind? What do I need to make sure I'm prioritizing my life to make sure that I'm okay in my soul and stuff like that? And I think that's been kind of a challenge with starting Mazzy as well, because, you know, sometimes when you have your own business or your own organization, it's not quite so easy to just say, oh, I need my time to step away.
Yes.
And, you know, burnout is real. Yeah.
And extraordinary how out of adversity comes great creativity. And as I'm sure you will acknowledge, as I do with even the construct of this show, if it wasn't for the pandemic, I wouldn't have even had the idea. And I know that's exactly the case for you as well.
Absolutely. Exactly. And literally, like, my whole life has changed and I feel like I found what I'm meant to be doing. And I found my world, you know, the kind of social justice with mixed with the food world. The food world in Bristol is so beautiful and filled with the most amazing people that really, really give a fuck shit. So and
I love the fact that was a double whammy. That was a fuck. That's great. No, that's very authentic, by the way. Please don't apologize.
Okay. Yeah, that really care about creating change. And I think that's, yeah, no, it's been really awesome.
And I love the fact you're able to apply it so powerfully and profoundly to your own demographic, having just passed the 18 to 24 bit. Then you've now made it about 18 to 25 year olds and helping through food and community.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all about, you know, although I haven't experienced the things necessarily that those young people have experienced, I think I couldn't help really a family because I don't have that. You know, I've obviously got my own family, but I'm not a mum or so I think it's important that when you're trying to create change or when you're trying to help a community that you're very much led by them and their lived experience and also are quite close to something that they could really relate to.
And again, the fact that it means together it makes complete sense in finding a niche and finding your true sense of purpose, which I congratulate you for, because it's also really giving back and playing it forward and feeding both your own heart and others.
Yeah, absolutely.
The analogies that keep on giving. So we're still in the canopy shaking your tree. What else? I think you've got one other thing that might have shaped you.
Oh, I thought I said four, but
You do the math. If ever I get confused, by the way, I've got a bell, which is cashier number four, please, which helps us get out of a rabbit hole. That's me not knowing my own structure there. So now, hashtag awkward, we're now on to three things that inspire you then in that case.
Yeah, I know this was another great question. I would say, obviously, people are my biggest inspiration, but I think change makers, people working in the community, the unsung heroes, I guess, or my friends inspire me, my parents inspire me, and photography really inspires me. I think as someone who kind of worked a lot or loves photography and is in documentary, you know, photography for me, it kind of sparks that emotion, it sparks that kind of idea for need for change. I was, you know, a photo of the hamper that I saw that technically inspired this whole thing. And
tell me a bit more about that, the photo of a hamper that grabbed your eye.
The one for the free school meal, that, you know, was the photos of kind of the atrocious food that was provided that really caught my eye, and which is what kind of contributed to all this change.
And was that just the photo or a physical experience of look at that hamper and look what's in it? Because I know you must have looked at one and compared and contrasted what else could be in there for £25 worth of value.
Yeah, it was a photo, and then I did a comparison myself, and I actually got in contact with quite a lot of families and stuff like that that were sending me photos themselves as well. But yeah, a lot of my young people really, really inspire me. Their strength is incredible. Their kind of passion to create change is amazing. And I think anyone that wants to change and create a more positive world is just, you know, beautiful.
Yes.
And also protests really inspire me. I've always, from university, I've kind of always wanted to document lots of different protests. I've done lots of the XR ones. I was there the moment Colson fell. I was at the Kill the Bill protest, and I always leave like buzzing and feeling so like ready to kind of take on the world and united. Because I think often through different media, through governments, etc., you kind of see such a increasingly divided world.
Yes.
And protest is such a, you know, like within that moment, you feel like you're part of something bigger. And that kind of feeling is always really welcome.
And of course, in the history of Bristol, the downing of the Colston statue was a really iconic moment.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was huge. And in fact, I run a comedy group called hashtag LOLvirus on Facebook. And the meme that went in straight away was harboring a well-known criminal when he went into the water, which is just so witty, profound and clever as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was amazing. I was literally right at the front. I got a photo, that's actually in Vogue online.
that could be banked for your quirky or unusual fact, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah, that was, the news.
So go you in Vogue magazine. I couldn't help hearing that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, God, when that kind of happened, it was really, really cool. But I mean, it was brilliant to capture such an incredible moment and to be there. And, you know, it went worldwide, didn't it? It went global.
Yes.
And I think that's partly why I love Bristol, because it is such a beautiful place to, for, you know, our voices to be heard.
Yes. And of course, there's such a sort of rich, steeped history, which goes back, obviously, to the, you know, the Colston legacy and the fact that the city is, you know, let's not avoid saying it, it's steeped in the blood of slavery. So there's an awful lot of social injustice and justice to be put right in that case.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good place to be a catalyst for change.
Yeah. For sure.
We could now be, unless any other inspiring things that are coming to mind?
I think that's kind of everything that I've said.
Just checking that there's not anything left unsaid. So now we're on to squirrels. You know what? This is borrowed from the film Up, by the way, when the dog goes, oh.
Yeah.
So when I do this as a live theatre show, there's loads of squirrels that just come hurtling onto the stage as constant squirrels of distraction. So what would you say are your squirrels? What are your monsters of distraction that never fail to grab your attention?
I would say protests again. Though every time there's a protest, I'm always there. I feel like I always want to be a part of it, and kind of any community action.
I love that. If ever there's a protest going on, you want to be part of it. So there's a little bit of what we want. I'm not sure yet, but I'm here. What are we working it out?
yeah, Yeah, no, definitely. I remember when there was a Kill the Bill once and all the stuff was going on, like the kind of rioting, and I think it was like 11 at night or something, and I was like, right, I was just chilling with my friends and I was just like, guys, I'm leaving, and I just went straight back there. But yeah, so to protest, and I mean that ties in with that community action, I think. Yes. It's a big part of it again, and something that I always, you know, because both of those are a source of inspiration for me and a source. Yes. Of kind of change. So I think they're always something that I want to be a part of. And then what, I mean, another thing that always grabs my attention is just food. Food
is my biggest distraction.
And yeah, the stories around food, the culture of food, the different people cooking food and all the different pop-ups and the different kind of approaches to food and approaches to sourcing food. Yeah.
And you didn't train as a chef initially, though, did you? And I know that you're probably bringing in others to be the chef, but you obviously do cooking yourself. But it was more documentary filmmaking for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. No chef experience. I mean, I've worked in kitchens a lot in terms of, like, you know, waiting or kind of some back of house bits. But and I think I would be an absolutely terrible chef. I love taking my time. Like, whenever I host, I always get really stressed for the first half an hour whilst they're there and don't talk to anyone. And then slowly, like, you know, comes the food will come when it comes, kind of thing.
Yes.
But I love cooking, and I just love food, and like learning so much about it has been really, really cool. And chatting to so many different chefs and hearing their story. And I cooked a really wonderful meal for 20 people with Pash, the head chef from the Lido, and we cooked it together, and it was a Greek meal. And that was an incredible experience. Or I've cooked, you know, for Pegs from Sunny Stores. So
these are all iconic Bristol-based venues. There's Boxy, yeah, as well. All these people we have in common.
Boxy, yeah, amazing. Josh Eggleton. Yeah, all of them. They're just all awesome.
Wonderful. So I think that's your two squirrels of distraction. That's great. And now, what's the quirky or unusual fact about you, Mel, from the Mozzie Project, we couldn't possibly know until you tell us?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of something really cool. Well, something really, like, quirky. But I guess the thing that I thought of, that I used to be top 8 under 18 in the UK tennis circle.
Just say that again. The top what?
Top 8 under 18 in the UK tennis circle.
I was going to ask you for a game of tennis, but I'm probably not now.
I mean, I'm probably terrible now anyway, so it's fine.
I'm a bit of a ping pong samurai. If I was to play ping pong, may lose.
Table tennis, love table tennis.
Oh, awkward, okay. I like to talk a big game, but normally everyone I play at ping pong becomes my ping pong, I'm trying not to say the word bitch there, but I, you know, my ping pong bitch is the expression. anyway, at some point we'll try it because we're quite local.
Yeah, so perfect.
Take me down in both and that'll all be fine. But that's a great quirky unusual fact. And we had the cheeky chappy chaser of you also being in Vogue magazine.
Yes.
The Colston statue. Was pulled down, quite right too. Okay, so now we've shaken your tree, hurrah, we stay in the clearing, and next we talk about alchemy and gold, please. So when you're at purpose and in flow, you absolutely, it may well be implicit in what we're talking about anyway, but what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
I mean, just being at the forefront of change, I think, you know, not necessarily that I'm kind of there, but just being a part of being on the precipice of something big happening, you know, whether it's at a protest, whether it's kind of developing our campaign around how we're going to change national policy, around trying to use like new innovative system because the system is broken. I think that is something that just, can't sleep at night, just can't stop wanting to be alive, kind of thing.
I love that. That's a great answer. Oh, fantastic. Good. And by the way, if the Mozzie Project ever goes global, it will be Mozzie Pan Global.
When it goes global.
Because indeed, obviously, it's definitely a model that can then translate. I mean, is it seeding to other cities already as an idea?
People have got in touch, but that's definitely the kind of idea, is that soon once kind of we get some processes and some bits in place, and we want to be able to start replicating the model and selling, kind of, you know, giving it out as a blueprint across the city, across the UK, and then kind of become more leaders in voicing the issues of disadvantaged 16 to 25 year olds through the kind of food narrative, I guess, globally.
Yes, lovely. Wonderful answer to the Alchemy in Gold. And now I'm going to award you with a cake, please. Hurrah. So obviously, as you like cooking, do you like cake, Melanie? And if so, what type would you like metaphorically?
I love cake. What type would I like metaphorically?
So I'm going to unpack. It's a final storytelling metaphor where it's a multi-layered cake and there are other analogies to come out of it. But first of all, we'll just talk about cake. I mean, obviously, there's baklava, which everybody knows is the wonderful Greek stuff. It doesn't have to be that. That's too stereotype, I know. But what's your favourite type of cake?
It would probably be my mum's birthday cake that she always makes me, which is like a chocolate sponge with really nice cream and lots of raspberries and plums and shaved dark chocolate. It's just delish. It looks like that.
Looks like what I've got. This apparently is a dog's toy, but it's the most. That is indeed. that's what we need. So perfect. Now you get to put a cherry on your cake alongside your raspberries, and this is the final series of storytelling metaphors. Whereby now, if you could tell me a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future.
If you don't like the system, change the system. I think that's definitely my favourite one. It was actually Andy Cato from Groove Armada that said it on Sunday when I did a talk at Glasgow. I just thought that was just like such a good, easy kind of summary of everything I believe in.
Did you just say when I just gave a talk at Glasgow? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I was on a panel at Glastonbury.
Just tell us a bit more about that.
I got invited to speak on the Team Canteen panel about our right to eat well. So it was with Andy Cato from Groove Armada, which was amazing because I'm a really big fan and he does some incredible work in the agricultural industry. Next to Josh Eggleton, who's a really good friend, and then Isaac, who does Castnut Cafes, and Ruby Tando, an amazing chef. It was really, really cool. It was on the Sunday. There were quite a few people that came to watch, gave me a free ticket to Glastonbury, which was amazing. So yeah, it was a bit of a I made it kind of moment.
Congratulations. And I couldn't help hearing that. And thank you for telling us a bit more. That was lovely. And now, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Best piece of advice I've ever been given. I think it's just to go big. Like, nothing is kind of too big. You can achieve anything you want if you really want to, kind of thing. And I genuinely do believe that. I believe I can achieve anything I want in terms of my career and stuff like that in my life, which is a really, it's a nice feeling. And I think it kind of teaches me a lot about resilience and using my initiative and pushes me to keep going and to keep getting bigger and bigger in whatever way that may mean.
And it links beautifully to that lovely quote of, if you believe you can or believe you can't, you're probably right. So it's
I didn't know that quote. That's a good one.
It's a bit like self-advocacy. I give myself permission. And just say your quote again, go big, was it? It was a little bit more subtle than that.
Just don't be afraid to go big.
Lovely quote. Lovely. Now, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger version of yourself?
To say that don't worry if you're not going a million miles an hour, like to relax and chill the fuck out a little bit. Yeah, definitely. I think I'm constantly feeling like I have to be doing the next big thing and kind of not celebrating enough the moment or like an achievement. And I think I'm noticing even now that that's getting it gets tiring and it gets boring. And I think it's just, important to celebrate the moments that you're in and not always worry about kind of the next big thing.
By the way, I've just looked something up that links so beautifully to something I experienced yesterday, which is called lag, which is a likelihood of absent gains. You know, when you've done something,
yeah,
and you think, come on, and then the world doesn't seem to care.
Yeah,
it's gone, da-da, the big reveal, and then there's a likelihood of absent gains. So we've got to be patient.
Yes, exactly.
This isn't me telling you that. I absolutely need to invert that, and I experience the same thing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think a lot of people do, especially maybe creative people, because your mind is constantly going. Yeah, definitely just to just relax. It's going to be okay.
And as you said, chill the fuck out, which is great. Yeah, okay, we're ramping up to a bit of Shakespeare in a moment.
Fab.
But just before we get there, and I'll explain, this is, by the way, this is a really authentic prop. This is the actual, I think you'll find, complete works of Shakespeare that I had at drama school. So this is a very authentic prop. When I came up with this idea, I found it back in the loft and I thought, this is my own personal one. So we're going to talk about legacy shortly, in a way I'll explain. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So who in your network do you think would most enjoy being given a damn good listening to in this construct?
So I was thinking about this, and I think it will be my mentor, Alison, who runs a PR agency, but is genuinely one of the most incredible women I've ever met. She's has a really amazing story herself, has been really inspiring and helpful towards me, and genuinely really cares about helping the world and creating ethical business. And she's one of the key people in that have helped me and Muzzy become where we are, get to where we are now. She's wicked.
And Alison, what's her second name, please?
Weir, W-E-I-R.
Alison Weir, and your mission, should you accept it. And by the way, thank you so much for unleashing your mentor rather than any old random Muppet. This sounds like a very, very important person. So it'll be my absolute pleasure to speak to Alison Weir as well. Thank you for that. So that was past the golden button. And now, easy. Cashier number four, please. Inspired by Shakespeare and all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players, each man or woman in their time have seven entrances, their time being seven ages. How, when all is said and done, Mel, would you most like to be remembered?
As a change maker.
I reckon that's a given. You can have that for free. A change maker.
Yeah.
Go you.
Yeah.
Where can we find out all about you and the awesome Muzzy project on the hinterweb, please?
So, www.themuzzyproject.com, across socials at The Muzzy Project. So it's M-A-Z-I. And then you can find me on LinkedIn LinkedIn, Melanie Baxavanakis.
Baxavanaki, yes. And by the way, you're the second Greek person in a week that I've had on the programme.
Amazing!
Somebody called Stella Taliadoris. And I know you don't know her, because it's a bit like, you're from Greece, do you know Stella?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that joke, because you know the idea, you're from England, do you know? Yes, so it just so happens that I've had a bit of a Greek week.
Amazing, great.
Wonderful. And and Stella is a angelic Reiki practitioner. Yes. Oh. And by the way, you were passed the golden baton by the wonderful Lee Millard, who is our gym instructor, please.
Yeah, legend.
He is a legend. So just big shout out to Lee there as well, which
big
is great.
Shout out to Lee.
Anything else you'd like to say or plug whilst you're here?
We have a big crowdfunding going on at the moment to buy a van to help us double the amount of meal kits that we can send out. So if you know anyone that can help donate, please do. We're looking for big kind of corporate donations sharing, etc.
And I love the fact you've got the word van in your surname. You've really thought that through.
Thanks for that.
See what I did there? I'm just giving you hooks for getting the van.
We need to raise £30,000. We're over a third of the way there. And we need some big corporate donations, some sharing on crowdfunder.co.uk, be the recipe number for change, or on our website, on our socials, all the links are there. And it's to help us double the amount of young people we support and deliver our amazing meal kits to. So you would be directly tackling food poverty by donating.
Lovely. And as we know, the Marzi Project is about making sure that 70 boxes of fresh fruit and vegetable and a recipe card go out to young people every day or every week?
Every week.
Every week. Who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it, and helping to educate them about health, nutrition. And it's all about community through food and bringing these disadvantaged young people back to the dinner table, metaphorically, literally. As this has been your moment in the Good Listening To show, Melanie, stories of distinction and genius, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think that was good. And I just really appreciate you having me on the show. It's such an interesting journey. It's really good. And thank you for making me think about some stuff about, you know, that brought me back to the present, I guess.
Wonderful. And keep on keeping on, because you're awesome.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And I will keep a close eye on you, because I'm so close to North Street. If you don't mind, I'll call by and say hello and shake you by the hand.
Yeah, that'd be wicked.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Also, thank you for watching here on LinkedIn as well. You've been listening to Melanie and from the Marzi Project. And tune in next time. And thank you for watching here on LinkedIn too for more stories from the clearing. And good night.
You've been listening to the Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes.
Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from the clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, for me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
Goodbye.
So, Melanie from the Marzi Project, you've just told us about a very important You Need a New Van crowdfunding thing. Over to you.
Yeah, so we're running a crowdfunder. We need to raise £30,000. We're over a third of the way there. And we need some big corporate donations, some sharing. And you can find the crowdfunder on crowdfunder.co.uk, be the recipe number for change. Or on our website, on our socials, all the links are there. And it's to help us double the amount of young people we support and deliver our amazing meal kits to. So you would be directly tackling food poverty by donating.
Lovely. And as we know, the Marzi Project is about making sure that 70 boxes of fresh fruit and vegetable and a recipe card go out to young people every day or every week?
Every week.
Every week, who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it, and helping to educate them about health, nutrition. And it's all about community through food and bringing these disadvantaged young people back to the dinner table, metaphorically, literally.
Great.
Boom. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here. Good night.